Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Would you do me a favor and grab your copy of God's Word and turn to me to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 20. It reads, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule over the fish, the birds of the sky, the livestock, and all the earth, and all the creatures that crawl on it.' So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them both male and female." Verse 28. "Then God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth.'" This is the word of the Lord. Before considering it, we should pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, and your kindness. And Lord, we pray that in this atmosphere that you would continue to move, that you would continue to be with us here. Lord, you are the one who heals and moves and breathes on us. So we ask that you would do the same thing here today. Holy Spirit, you are the one who penned the words to these pages. So we ask that you be our interpreter and our God this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if I can start off and just jump straight into it, my first point would be that God creates. God creates, and what he creates is good. If we were to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we are to see that God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates everything here on earth. No matter what you see, he created it. He created the birds in the sky. He created the fish. He created the moon and the stars. He created the trees. No matter what you see, God created. And what he created is good. And today, I just want to give you an overview from chapter 1 to chapter 3 of God's creation and how you are made in the image of God. But God creates, and what he creates is beautiful. And if we skip down to verse 26, we see that God deems us to be worthy enough to make us humans in his image. And when he created us, he said, "Man, this is good, and this is beautiful, and I love it." Let's see what the Bible says about us. If we look at some scriptures, we can look at 1 Peter 2:9, and it says this: "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you would declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light." God creates. Jeremiah 1:5 says this: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before your mama and daddy ever thought about doing anything, God said, 'I handpicked you. I created you. I wombed you. I knew the hairs that were going to be on your head. I created you, and I knew you, and I knew you by name.'" This is the God we serve. We are created in his image. If you think that you're an accident, you're not an accident, because God said, "I was thinking about you. I was forming you. I was molding you. I was growing you before anybody ever thought about anything. I knew your name. I knew everything." People, we are made in the image of God, and the image of God is beautiful and it is perfect. If we are to look at some things, let me tell you something. Women, you are beautiful. You have beautiful hair and you have beautiful smiles, and God's called you to do great and awesome things for him. He created you to do some awesome things. You are created in his image. Men, we are great men of God. You are brave. You are intelligent. You are a mighty man of God and a mighty man of valor. And mighty men of valor do what God has called you to do. You are created in his image. And if we are to look at Genesis 1:31, we ought to see something. God says, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and then there was day, the sixth day." And I look at this, and we see that God creates. But if God is the creator of the world, and he creates, and what he creates is beautiful, that means Satan does the opposite, and Satan destroys. My number two point is Satan destroys. The devil destroys. If we are to skip over to Genesis chapter 3, we are to see some characters in the Bible named Adam and Eve. Anybody know Adam and Eve? Cool. I'm going to tell you the story just in case you don't, because you look a little dead this morning. I'm going to tell you the story. Adam and Eve are floating around in the garden. God has made them. He has made them perfect. And then they're roaming around in the Garden of Eden, and they are enjoying life. And then one day the serpent comes up to Eve, and he's like, hey, girl, I want you to eat that fruit. And she's like, the fruit that God told me not to eat? Boo-boo, I'm not going to do that. Not up in my house, not up in my garden. That's not going to happen up in here. And so they begin to conversate back and forth. And as they begin to conversate, the serpent says, look, I don't know what you thought, but God ain't really going to kill you. He not going to kill you, girl. What you thought up in here? And she was like, oh, for real? He not going to kill me? Oh, my goodness. No, not for real. And he was like, yeah, he ain't going to kill you for real. And she was like, okay, well, I'm going to eat this fruit then. So she begins to eat the fruit. And as she begins to eat the fruit, she begins to walk and she runs into Adam. She's like, oh, my goodness, baby, you need to try this fruit. This fruit is so good. And he's like, the fruit that God told us not to eat? Okay, cool. Why not? And so he begins to eat the fruit. And I began to sit there and wonder about some things. Because the Bible says that Adam was the first man to sin, even though Eve was the first woman to eat the fruit. But it reminded me that the Bible says the man is supposed to be the head of the household, leading and directing their wives, not to rule over, but to lead and direct. And I wonder, do we have men who are leading and directing their wives in the right way? Accompanying them. The Bible says that we are to love our brides as though Christ has loved the church. And so I wonder, are we doing that, men? Because Adam could have saved a whole lot had he submitted and said, God, I know this is wrong and I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to lead my wife in the right direction. Where would we be now had Adam stood up and been the man? The men are called to be the initiators. Women are called to be responders. It's not bad. It's just the way that God made it. This is why I can ask my wife, what do you want to eat? And until I say what I want to eat, she will say, I don't know, 53 times. What do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? I don't know. What you want to eat? I don't know either. What do you want? You tell me, and then I'll let you know. We go back and forth, and then I say McDonald's, and she's like, oh, no, I'm not going there. That ain't happening. Not going to no McDonald's. Why? Because women are the responders. Men are supposed to be the initiators. We men are called to do this. But Adam did not do that, and so they begin to go and hide themselves with human things because God is no longer hiding or covering their eyes. So they begin to put these fig trees and fig leaves on themselves, trying to cover themselves from God. And it seems as though in this particular moment that the devil has done his job and he has destroyed God's original plan. He has come in and he has done some things and he has messed it all up the way that God originally intended for it to be. And I wonder today, has the devil tried to destroy anything in your life? Maybe a marriage or friendship or maybe he's tried to destroy finances or whatever that might be, I wonder. Because the Bible says in John 10:10, matter of fact, I think we got it on the screen. John 10:10 says, for the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come so that you may have life and life to the full. I wonder, has God or the devil, excuse me, come and tried to destroy some things in your life? Maybe bring up some insecurities that you have or whatever it might be. What is it? Because the good news about this is that my number three point is this: God redeems. God creates and he creates all these things, and the devil tries to come in and mess up the original intent that God had planned for us. And then God says, oh, no, baby, I have another plan. I have a plan B, and my plan B, his name is Jesus. God redeems. God redeems. Over 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus who came and died for all of our sins, and he set us all free. God redeems. If we ought to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, I want to show you something really quick. It says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat the dust all the days of your life. 15. And I will put, y'all help me with that word right there. Somebody say it. Y'all didn't know it either. Okay. Between you and the woman, I'm just playing. And between you and your offspring, her offspring and yours. Watch this. This is what I want to hold on in. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. I want to show you guys something really quick. He, that fits this particular scripture, go back. He will crush your head. I want to show you something. He, meaning Jesus, will crush Satan's head. Head in this particular scripture means authority. He will crush your head, and you being the devil, will strike his heel. Heel. If we go to that next slide, for Hebrew, it means soul, nefesh. It means soul. So watch this. God says, or the scripture says, he will strike his heel. So Jesus will crush Satan's authority, and Satan will anguish Jesus' soul. Jesus will crush Satan's authority, and Satan will anguish Jesus' soul. Now, how will Jesus do this, or how will Satan do this to Jesus? How he does it is that he brought sin throughout the whole world, and he looked at it, and God, and Isaiah also says that Jesus said that he would carry the burdens of all these people and all the sin. And so the way that Satan does this is that he brings a bunch of sin to the world, and his heart, Jesus' heart, is anguished and heavy and burdened. And I wonder today, has the devil brought any anguish to your soul? Any depression, anxiety, anything that anguished your soul, anything that keeps you up late at night? Has the devil tried and come to anguish your soul just like he did Jesus's? Well, let me tell you something. Going back to my third point is this, is that God redeems. And the Bible says in verse 15, there Satan will anguish Jesus' soul. But what Jesus will do is that Jesus will come and crush Satan's authority. This is why the Bible says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Death's victory was pinned on the cross about 2,000 years ago because Jesus' blood shed from head to toe, and when his blood shed from head to toe, it covered me and you. And so when God looks at me and you, he doesn't see us, he sees Jesus. So he's always eternally pleased. My friend, we are made in the image of God. And being made in the image of God and being royalty and being a priesthood also has its benefits. For our God is the King of the universe. Our God owns and controls all. This is why he continues to say in Matthew, if there's anything that you need, let me know. And I'm paraphrasing right here, but let me know, because I own it all. I own it all. And whatever you need or whatever you ask for, if a man was to ask for wisdom, why would I not give him wisdom? I'm their daddy. Why would I give him a stone or a fish? My friend, God will give you whatever you need. You are covered in his blood, and he is eternally pleased with you. So stop thinking that God doesn't love you, my friend. He does. And come to his throne, as the Bible says, boldly. So some of the benefits of being a part of God's family is this. I want you to write this down. Number one, you have dominion. Dominion. So act like it. You have dominion. The Bible says in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy. And nothing shall hurt you by any means. You have dominion over everything. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1 verses 28 again. It says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. If God has given us dominion and power over the creatures, the birds, and the sky, do you not think God has given us dominion over Satan, my friends? God says, I have made you in my image, so I'm giving you dominion over these things. So stop letting the devil lie to you and say that you don't have your healing, because I died for you. You have your healing. Stop letting the devil lie to you and remind you of your insecurities. Let me tell you something. You're beautiful because I died for you. I made you in my image. I'm beautiful. You're beautiful. I'm saved. You're saved. You are perfect and clean because of what I have done for you. You are pure because of what Jesus has done for you. So remind yourself and remind the devil where his place is. The Bible says that the devil is up under your feet. So remind the devil where his place is. Might as well write a note on the bottom of your shoe that says Satan and just lift it up every now and then. Oh, I forgot, Satan, where you were. And let me remind myself. Remind the devil of who your daddy is, because he is awesome and he's great and he rules and he has given you the strength and authority to rule. Number two, you are a child of God, so cling to his promises. So cling to his promises. I know you're sick in your body, but cling to his promises. I know you're hurting in your physical body and your emotional body, but cling to his promises. I know you feel like you're not going to make it, but cling to his promises. I know the marriage is a little shaky, but cling to his promises. I know he's getting on your nerve, but cling to his promises. I know she's getting on your nerve, but cling to his promises. All of God's promises are yes and amen. Because if God said it, he can't go back on it. It is out of his character. It is out of order for God to go back on a promise. He can't do it. If he wanted to do it, he still couldn't do it. All God's promises are yes and amen. It was done at the cross. Anything that you need, he says, I got you. All promises are yes and amen. I don't know if the band is still here, but y'all can come up. And I just want to remind you, which is my last point, to keep reminding you, all God's promises are yes and amen. You are created in his image. God creates. What he creates is beautiful. What he creates is awesome. And you are made in his image. But the devil doesn't like that. So what he tries to do is he tries to come and he tries to destroy everything that God did. This is why worship is so valuable, because that's what the devil's job was. And when you worship, it gets on his nerve. And so it causes the enemy to want to attack you. But let me tell you something. God has put a hedge of protection over his children, just like he did Job. And my friend, you can't be touched because of who your daddy is. It didn't say that the weapons wouldn't hurt. It said they wouldn't form. So it might hurt, but they won't form. And last but not least, God redeems. He redeems anything that you've ever done, anything that you've ever did. God redeems it. You are valuable to him. You are beautiful to him. God redeems what is his. A story in the Bible that I love is the Hosea and Gomer story. And long story short, Hosea is looking for his wife. His wife has become a prostitute, and he's looking for her. They originally was already married, and she leaves and goes back into prostitution. And when she goes back into prostitution, Hosea goes back and he starts looking for her. In the Bible, what scholars tend to believe is that Hosea found her on a selling block, a sex slave selling block, and they were selling her. And Hosea came up and he paid for his wife, Gomer. And some people would say, why would you pay for something that was already yours? But my friend, that's the story of the gospel, is that God created you and you was originally his, but thanks to Adam and Eve and even some of our selfish decisions, we fall away, go and do our own thing. But thanks be to God who pursues us, who goes after us no matter what we've done. And he comes and he finds us and he embraces us with open arms. Wait a minute, what are you doing? It was already yours. I know, but I'm paying for what is already mine. And I'm redeeming what is already mine. And I'm restoring what is already mine. And I'm healing what is already mine. And no matter what happens, I'm always going to be here. No matter how far they go, I'm always going to keep chasing. No matter what they do, I'm always going to be there. When they turn around and they think I've forgotten about them, I'm still in the same place that I was. I'm still here and I'm still thinking of you. And no matter if you forgot or if you thought I forgot, I didn't forget. I'm still here. I'm still chasing no matter what you've done. God redeems.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.